Well, thank you, Denise, and thank you for the warm welcome. It's great to see so many here, and can I also acknowledge not only the TAS Convention Bureau for their sponsorship, but CEDA also as an organisation. An organisation, I was just saying to Peter, I believe, really adds a layer to the debate in Tasmania, and that we welcome with open arms, and very keen to see more CEDA events in Tasmania and participation in those events in any way I can help. Certainly we will. It's a pleasure to be with you today on day 101. I might get it right here. Throat's giving out after 101 days of speaking. Pretty constantly. I have the pleasure to announce that for the first time in 100 days I got home before 6 p.m. last night at 4 minutes to 6, I can report. I suspect it might be the last time for the next at least 100 days as well. But it's great to be here today to talk further about this government's plans for the economic future of Tasmania. Many of you will have attended speeches by me in recent weeks, the TCCI black tie event a few weeks ago, and or the Tasmanian Perpetual Trustees dinner in Launceston, where I delivered a speech that was, I hope, started to point the direction of the type of direction that I want to see for Tasmania economically, and the sorts of stakes in the ground that I believe we need to place to start mapping out that direction. It's not a radical new direction, but it is a direction that builds upon what we've seen in Tasmania, and that is, in no uncertain terms, and I believe beyond debate, stellar economic growth and change. A growth and change that also, though, has seen a diversification of our economy, and an economy that is far more robust due to that diversification, and therefore able to withstand the shocks that may befall it, both external in terms of global economic and national economic conditions, but also internal in terms of the prospect or otherwise of major projects getting up or not in Tasmania. I believe Tasmania's economy is far more robust and able to withstand those things than it was 10 years ago. And in fact, the numbers speak for themselves, and I won't go through them all, but as a Labor Premier, of course, I am very proud and pleased that 41,000 Tasmanians extra are now, due to the work of the business community, together with government, never claim these things for governments alone, that working together over the last 10 years with real plans that were put into place, we have been able to together create 41,000 new jobs in Tasmania. That means 41,000 Tasmanians are able to put a roof over their head, food on their table, and buy school books for their own kids. And that is a significant achievement of which I believe all Tasmanians should be very proud. But as you've, if any of you have heard me speak before, you would know that I'm absolutely resolute in not spending my time talking about the next 10 years, the last 10 years, that I'm here to talk about the next 10 years. And I believe that the last 10 years of growth really came about because a number of key strategic plans were put into place, those being a clear energy plan that brought gas, Basslink, and investment in renewables like wind to Tasmania, a very strong fiscal plan that, of course, through restrained recurrent spending has built an ability for us to invest in significant infrastructure, wealth-creating infrastructure for the next 10 years, and a balance sheet that's so strong we are able to step in when markets fail, such as recently has happened with the decline of Babcock and Brown, and therefore the necessity coming about for the Tasmanian government to buy back, if you like, the Tamar Valley Power Station. And I believe that's a very good deal for Tasmania, and one that could only have come about with a very strong physical plan that was created 10 years ago. And of course we also had a very strong industry development plan that came about in conjunction with the Tasmanian business community and following the most comprehensive set of industry audits conducted by the Department of Economic Development, or the Department of State Development as it was then, that informed not only where our key industry strengths were, but also our weaknesses and the gaps we needed to plug. It's my view that it's those three strong plans and clearly articulated plans and the execution of them that has taken largely resulted in the stellar growth we've seen for the next 10 years, for the last 10 years. And what I'm here to talk to you about today is, of course, the plans that I alluded to in my TCCI speech recently, and have been talking about most recently, to continue that stellar growth for the next 10 years. Of course, these few things just at the outset. I believe everything we do over the next 10 years needs to not only respond to, but anticipate the three macro challenges that I believe Tasmania and most of the Western world, in fact, face. They are, of course, demographic change. By the year 2040, I think it is, if Tasmania was a country, we will be the third oldest country in the world, behind Japan and Italy. Climate change, of course, is a significant challenge for us, but I believe for every threat, and certainly in the case of climate change, a significant opportunity as well. And those opportunities lie in science, in research, in innovative agribusiness, and a whole range of other areas that I believe we are uniquely placed to capitalise, in fact, and find opportunity through climate change. And thirdly, the great macro challenge I believe we face is around energy security. And I think the Tama Valley Power Station recently is a great example of that. Ensuring Tasmania's energy supply and our participation in the national energy market and the challenges that go over the next decade that we need to face through that and through those, but also opportunities that we will encounter through securing our energy supply, are the three macro things that I think must inform everything we do. And of course, and many of you have heard me say this before, as the first Premier in 50 years since Sir Robert Cosgrove in 1958 to retain the education portfolio, I have done so deliberately and with intent, and that intent is to make education absolutely central to both our economic plans and, of course, our social and community development plans as well. That, in fact, it's my belief and I say this regularly, when some of the older hands in my party said to me, in fact, on day one when I chose to retain the education portfolio, oh, no, the Premier always has an economic portfolio. And I said, don't you get it? Education is the economic portfolio, and it's the economic portfolio, I believe, over the next 10 years. And it's my clear goal and publicly stated goal to take Tasmania. I'm very proud to say that in this year's budget, the first budget under my premiership, we have taken education spending in Tasmania per capita, per student that is, to above the national average for the first time in decades. And it's my clear intention, and I see a table of Treasury wonks here, so they should listen to this. I use the term wonk affectionately. It's my clear intention to take Tasmania's spending per capita on education to the top in the nation, and with that, over the next 10 years, our educational outcomes from below average in Australia to the top of the nation in Australia. And I believe that will be the most significant thing we can do economically for Tasmania as well as socially, of course. So that's by way of a bit of introduction. But now is the time, I believe, that we need to start planning for and thinking about the next 10 years of growth in Tasmania. And that 10 years of growth, as I've outlined in previous speeches, and therefore I'm not going to go into all the detail of why this is the case, but to give you a potted summary, if you like, of that, needs to be not only informed by those macro challenges I've talked about, but also have as a goal the lifting of the three P's, as I would refer to them, and they are, of course, productivity in our workplace, in our economy, participation in our workforce, which has always been, both of those have been traditionally low in Tasmania compared with other states in Australia, and our population, which I believe has potential to significantly grow. And in the next little while, I'll be talking to one of my media advisors to arrange an event, either at a maternity hospital or at the Spirit of Tasmania terminal, I'm not sure, maybe both, to welcome the half millionth Tasmanian, because Tasmania's population has grown by the size of the city of Devonport over recent years, and that population growth I believe needs to continue and will continue if we deal with the other two P's and therefore create economic opportunity for the population to grow. But I am looking forward to going and welcoming the half millionth Tasmania as he or she arrives either in a maternity ward or at one of our ports somewhere. I believe a modern economic strategy or a new generation strategy for Tasmania's economy needs to be based around three things. One is innovation, of course. The second is higher skill levels in our economy, and the third is not only certainty around our investment in infrastructures, wealth-creating infrastructures, but also investment in new infrastructures that are wealth-creating. And that's essentially the three things that I want to talk to you about today and also make some announcements about today and start to flesh out in more detail with you today. I don't know whether you can read that, and I don't want it to be in its entirety because I'm missing, for example, the tourism industry and other industries, but and I don't mean that deliberately in any way, shape or form. I've got a list of industry sectors there, but I mean them only as representative, if you like, of key industry sectors in Tasmania. At the top, I believe we need to be focused on growing those three areas: population, productivity, and participation in our workforce. They need to be informed right across key industry sectors like tourism, like the manufacturing industry, like the ICT industry, like our resources sector, like our agricultural sector, the key sectors where we have strengths. But to build those, I'm going to focus today on how we will create a comprehensive Tasmanian innovation strategy, how we will create a comprehensive Tasmanian skills strategy, and those two strategies will be underpinned by a 10-year infrastructure strategy, providing investment in both new infrastructures and certainty around existing infrastructures. And at the base of that diagram, of course, I believe we need to underpin that with a robust and growing, in fact, but a highly innovative research and development sector, that is obviously at the heart of which is our university, our cooperative research centres, Antarctic Division, and of course the CSIRO and many other areas that have very strong links through our infrastructure and skills and innovation strategies to our key industry sectors. Now that happens strongly in Tasmania already, but I believe we can strengthen those things. So to my first topic then around innovation. A lot of people, when I start talking about innovation, think I'm talking about technology or some sort of gee-whizzery or gadgetry or new tech, high tech, IT, what have you. And of course, those things are important parts of growing emerging industries through innovation in Tasmania. But actually much more what I'm talking about is innovation in our traditional sectors and in our sectors of strength. I always use the example, although it's a colourful example, of the fact that Nokia, which every one of you probably, unless you've got an iPhone, have one in your pockets, was of course a Finnish forestry company. And out of the innovation through telecommunications that their foresters used, that company was born. And I believe right throughout our traditional industries of forestry, agriculture, aquaculture, mining, there are great innovations and great meta-industries that we can create and grow. Further to that, through innovation and investment in technology, of course, in those traditional sectors, we can, I believe, extract more value for Tasmanians out of every tree we remove from the forest, out of every rock we dig up, out of every fish we take from the sea and every crop we harvest, I believe, through innovation and through technology, we can, in fact, extract more value here for Tasmanians, for our own economic growth, and for Tasmanian jobs. In fact, the Australian Innovation Research Centre recently found in their census, and I welcome Professor Jonathan West and many people from the Innovation Research Centre here today, recently found in a census, which was a census of unprecedented proportions in Tasmania, with 1,591 responses, that despite perceptions, and often they're external perceptions, because I think as Tasmanians we know we are an innovative people, that Tasmania actually has a very high proportion of firms that are engaged in innovation, and it is not a low innovation economy, and I believe much of that transformation has occurred over the last 10 years. And however, subsequent to that, the census also found that although innovation is broadly based across a range of industry sectors, the intensity of innovation is uneven, which says to me we can capture much more value out of innovation in all sectors, both emerging sectors and traditional sectors, by intensifying our efforts and by ensuring that that intensity is more widespread throughout more sectors or key sectors of our economy and is better supported by government policy and by infrastructures, both soft and hard infrastructures, that is, that support innovation in those firms. Consider this, that I understand that it's a fact, no one's convinced me otherwise yet, that of all the products and services sold in the US 5 years ago, 50%, sorry, this year, of all the products and services sold in the US this year, 50% of them didn't exist 5 years ago. So if as a state we are not being innovative and not being about newness, new products, new services, new ways of delivering those products and services, new technologies and new processes for creating those products and services, we are consigning ourselves to 50% of world markets cumulatively decreasing by 50% every 5 years. Therefore, if that's true, we need to be about newness and innovation, and we need to be about value-adding here, and we need to be developing government policy in conjunction with industry that drives innovation and supports that innovation. Every time I use that little story, someone puts their hand up and says, yeah, but you're not counting the Big Mac or the Double Whopper with cheese that didn't have cheese before, and that is essentially a new product. And yes, it is. But it's also innovation because it gets people to buy it because it's new. And I always refer to the example of Houston Farms, and I don't know whether Houstons are here, but Houston Farms grow lettuces, essentially, but they are extremely innovative in how they market, process, package and deliver those lettuces to market, and therefore create should be rated as a highly innovative firm, and I'm sure the census would have found that, Jonathan, and therefore creating much more wealth for themselves and for Tasmanians in that innovation. So today's announcement essentially is, and as I promised in my last speech, I would start to flesh out how we will do these things. I was very pleased, I've got to say, on my 100th day in office, that was yesterday, to sign a letter to Professor Jonathan West of the Australian Innovation Research Centre that does work globally, nationally and globally, out of Hobart here, a real jewel in the crown as far as I'm concerned of the University of Tasmania and Government Partnership Agreement, and one that we believe can do fantastic work for us as well. And that's why I signed off yesterday on commissioning the Australian Innovation Research Centre to develop an innovation strategy for Tasmania that identifies, firstly, those sectors that have the greatest potential to grow through innovation, that identifies the barriers and challenges to that innovation, identifies where government policy gaps exist and therefore where we need to close them, similar to what the Industry Development Plan for Tasmania did 10 years ago. Takes into consideration, of course, the context of Tasmania and there its unique attributes and its unique key industry sectors, and develops a framework that will have key deliverables in December of this year and through to next year's budget in 2009, that will deliver for Tasmania a comprehensive innovation strategy that supports innovation right across Tasmania's industry sectors for the next 10 years to come. I believe this will be a centrepiece and a very important piece of work for Tasmania's economy, and I believe a premier in the future, in 10 years, we'll see, we'll be able to speak of it in the same tones that I'm speaking of the Industry Development Plan and the fiscal plan that we created back in 1998 and its contribution for Tasmania's future growth. Of course, hand in hand with innovation, though, is for Tasmania to truly connect itself, and when I talk about connectedness in clever, kind and connected, I am talking about Tasmania being connected to the rest of the globe economically through its brand, through its exports, and through a robust economy that's deeply linked to a global economy, that, of course, to sustain that, we must, over the next 10 years, significantly shift our educational outcomes in Tasmania. That's the reason, as I've said already, that I've retained the education portfolio. And I said at the beginning of my time as Minister for Education some 2.5 years ago that there were three things I wanted to shift about Tasmania's education performance. They are our investment in the early years because that we know from all the research is where brain development, where intergenerational change or intergenerational poverty is either entrenched or not, where the best start in life absolutely sets every child up for their full potential. In too many communities, in too many places, in too many houses in Tasmania, that best start in life is not happening. And so we're already investing some $16 million in new early years launching into learning programs, but I can inform you there's more to come in that regard. We've recently announced in this year's budget $32 million, an unprecedented amount of money going directly into literacy support in classrooms, in schools with the lowest benchmarks. So this isn't $32 million spread over 200 schools, but it's $32 million, and now, because Julia Gillard gave us another $4 million just last week, we'll now reach some 37 schools. $32 million into 37 schools will make a massive difference when it comes to raising the bar of our literacy levels, but more importantly, closing the gap between those who are performing, and at the top level we're performing as well as anywhere in Australia, but we have an extraordinarily long tail in Tasmania that is directly related to socioeconomic status. And to break that cycle, we need to close that gap by investing in needs-based funding directly into schools, and that's what the Raising the Bar, Closing the Gap program of the now $36 million will do over the coming 4 years. Thirdly, my focus is on post-year 10 qualifications. 86% of the jobs available in in Australia today require some form of post-year 10 qualification, whether that's a Certificate 3 in metal fabrication or a PhD in astrophysics. That 86% of jobs require a post-year 10 qualification. Unfortunately, less than 45% of young Tasmanians leaving school at the moment in Tasmania are gaining a post-year 10 qualification. And we need to massively turn that around over the next 10 years. And that's why we've invested in the Guaranteeing Futures program, which lifts the leaving age, which unfortunately for me, given that I'm getting hate mail from every grade 10 student in Tasmania at the moment, extends the school year for grade 10 students all the way through to the end, like every other state. And and of course also invests in bringing school and the world of school and the world of work much closer together. Further to that, our Tasmania Tomorrow reforms, which as you know from the 1st of January 2009 will reconstitute our institutions, post-year 10 educational institutions, to have real focus for pathways for kids who want to go on to university or who want to kickstart their career with a vocational qualification. And also of course the training enterprise that we've set up will deal directly with business 24/7, 365 days a year to deliver for them in a tailored way the skills packages that they need to grow their business. So a baker who wants his training of his apprentices or her apprentices done on the shop floor at 4 a.m, we will be there to deliver that training through these new reforms. Those are really important things that we are doing, but I believe also much more needs to be done. And I want to talk a bit about our successes as well, because the Tasmanian Government over 10 years has been deeply committed to raising skill levels, particularly through vocational education and training. And our VET system, particularly through TAFE, really is second to none in the nation, in both its student satisfaction and its outcomes per dollar. But I believe the bringing together of the best of TAFE and the best of our senior secondary colleges through Tasmania Tomorrow together, Tasmania Tomorrow, we can do even better again. There's some statistics there that I won't read out. And again, we have done a lot in skills development, but I believe there's more to be done. And that's why, as Minister for Education, I established a industry-led board and statutory authority called Skills Tasmania. Skills Tasmania is now leading the development of the second part of my three key plans that we need to get off the ground. The strategy will be finished, as has already gone through many iterations of industry consultation, and the board is an industry board representing many of the key sectors in Tasmania. And the strategy has been developed, of course, with training providers, peak bodies, government agencies alike. But essentially the strategy will set us up to ensure we know how to invest for the next 10 years in skills and lifting our overall skill levels in Tasmania. And today I want to illuminate a bit more that while the strategy isn't complete yet, that there is some 10 key areas that the strategy is focused on, and these are those, that well consulted and will be, I guarantee you, well invested in, we need to work on these things. One of the keys to themes that run through this is of course, not only productivity, through skills we lift productivity in the workforce, but of course population, around attracting the right skills to Tasmania through attracting skilled people, but also, of course, participation. And I want to just expand on, I think, the challenge, but also the massive opportunity we've got around participation in Tasmania. And I'll work from bottom to top. So Tasmania's population, a little bit out of date, it's nearly 500,000. But Tasmania's working age population over 15 years is about 398,000. Now, of those 398,000, there are 247,000 in the labour market, that is, those in work or looking for work, and 150,000 not in the labour market. Therefore, we have a participation rate of 61.8%, which has improved significantly from my days in David Crean's office. I recall it was probably around the mid-50s, 56, 57 sort of mark. So we have made improvement, but there's a lot of improvement comparative to other states in Australia that we can still make. So 38% of our population are not participating in the labour market. And of course, this becomes far more acute when we know that there are, I think by 2010, is that there will be more people leaving the workforce in Tasmania due to age than entering the workforce due to age. And so this challenge becomes more and more acute for Tasmania. So the question is, and of course that's it represents 236,500 people employed, 10,500 unemployed. Of course, that number was 41,000 less than 236,000 some 10 years ago. So who are these people, the 150,000 in Tasmania, who are not participating? Because surely we have not only a challenge, but a massive opportunity there. 50,000 of them, I can inform you, are over the age of 70 in this day and age, so I don't think that necessarily precludes all of them from work, from participating in the workforce. 45,000 doing domestic duties, but I believe with the right return to work and incentive type programs and opportunities can also be an opportunity for us. There are 20,000 students who often, due to an island culture, and I think naturally should be the case, want to leave Tasmania, and I don't think for one that's a bad thing. I left Tasmania. I know many of my friends left Tasmania. The challenge is finding the opportunity for them to come back and bring their skills back to Tasmania. And so there are opportunities there. The 24,000 marginally attached, or really bundle up marginally attached, and 6,000 interested in work at a later time, 30,000 people, I think are a really interesting opportunity for Tasmania. And through our skills strategy, which naturally will, and of course essentially will, engage those people in return to work programs or on getting the basic skills of adult literacy, of a certificate one in information technology, of whatever the case may, that they require, the basic work skills to participate in work are fundamental to us shifting this participation rate. And the skills strategy will have a key focus on also not only lifting our highest level of skills, but also shifting those people so they have an opportunity to participate in the workforce. I often say to my staff, imagine this. If we could take every single Tasmanian and the current qualification level they have and take them one qualification level higher, so that every bachelor's degree person got an honours degree, every certificate 2 in tourism and hospitality got a certificate 3 in tourism and hospitality, every diploma in forestry management got an advanced diploma in forestry management, the transformation that alone would make to this place that we live would be unprecedented in my view. And so that's where we need to focus much of our efforts, and that's where we will focus our efforts through a comprehensive skills strategy. Lastly then, I just want to talk briefly about the third plan, and I can illuminate a bit more, but we'll in the coming weeks start to talk and announce how we will engage industry and the wider community in the development of a 10-year infrastructure strategy. Now, of course, any 10-year infrastructure strategy needs to provide, and I believe it's one of the things that's lacking, is certainty around how we will invest in infrastructure for 10 years. In traditional infrastructures such as water and sewerage, roads, rail, ports, all those things that are important wealth-generating infrastructures. But also, most importantly, in intelligent or clever infrastructures, if you like, new infrastructures that will need significant investment and can underpin our innovation and skills strategy, such as intelligent low-emission transport systems, and I mean both in the public transport system or facilities and also in freight transport. We need to do some work there, and tomorrow I'm hosting the Premier's Fuel Summit in Launceston, which will start to map out some directions on how we get there. In telecommunications, and while we have our challenges in reaching these goals, I am confident we will, because I have total determination to create a competitive telecommunications regime in Tasmania and to deliver the significant price benefits, not only the significant price benefits to business that will, I believe, in the stroke of a pen, bring about for all Tasmanian business, but ultimately will also deliver a rash of innovative young start-up telecommunications companies in Tasmania that deliver to regional, remote, city, all sorts of areas, because they will be able to afford the long haul that they currently have to buy off only one player all the way to Melbourne. And it currently, I understand, does cost more to move a gigabyte of data from Hobart to Melbourne than it does from Melbourne to Los Angeles. And we need to do something about that. So telecommunications, and of course, with our significant already investment in renewable energies. We have a massive opportunity to invest more in renewable energies through the re-establishment of a mandatory renewable energy target by the current Australian government, but also through capitalising on any emissions trading systems that emerge also. So they are, the government will work with industry to provide a framework for a 10-year infrastructure strategy, providing certainty for infrastructure investment, but also providing opportunity for new infrastructures and intelligent infrastructures that we need to invest in to underpin our economic growth. And I'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks about how we go about that. So that's essentially it, and I thank you very much for your attendance and listening today. I'm happy to take your questions, and we'll go from there. Thank you.